I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of MMA. Follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available, as always, at MMAOddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARanks.net. I'll be breaking down Bellator 226 today, talking about a few pieces of news, and then getting into some fighting announcements. But I did want to say that I'm under the weather right now, so apologies for my voice, guys, but I'm not feeling the greatest today. I did want to break down Bellator 226 as promised, though, so always doing the podcast. Let's start off with Bellator 226. There are some odds out for it now, not the complete card, but the main card. There are odds out, so at least we have a starting point to talk about. Let's start with the main event and work our way down. So main event of the evening, Ryan Bader takes on Chia Congo for the Bellator Heavyweight Championship. Right now, Ryan Bader's minus 380, Congo's plus 315. That seems about right to me. Ryan Bader should be a big favorite here. Younger guy, 36 years old. He is on such a nice win streak right now. Seven straight wins. Just knocked out Fedor in his last fight, beat Matt Mitrione, Mo the Wall, Lincoln Vassell, Phil Davis, and then in the UFC, Little Dog and Latifi. So great win streak. He's actually won 12 of his last 13 fights overall. He's looked amazing. Amazing wrestler, as we all know, but also tremendous knockout power in his hands. Guys looked like a much improved fighter. So I'm nothing impressed with Ryan Bader since coming to Bellator, and looks like the UFC made a really big mistake letting him go. And then Chia Congo, you know what? I got to give credit to Chia Congo. He's 44 years old, and he keeps winning fights. He's on the 8-fight win streak right now in Bellator, and he beat Vitaly Minnikov in his last fight. It was a big upset, great win for him there. Before that, beat Tim Johnson, Javier Ayala, also has a win over Augusto Sakai, who looked pretty good in the UFC as well. So Chia Congo's look great. And also, I forgot to mention Volkov as well. That's another win during his win streak. So he's looked amazing overall in Bellator. He actually has a 12-2 record in Bellator overall. Two losses to Minnikov and Mo the Wall by split decision. So you got to give it up to Congo, man. He's looked great in Bellator, but I just don't like this matchup for him. Bader's a better wrestler, better striker, younger guy. Should be the faster guy, should be the more explosive guy. Good for Congo. That last win against Minnikov was really good and really surprising, but I think Bader wins this fight for sure. The question is he win by knockout or by decision? It's been a while since Congo's been knocked out. 6 years, actually, since Roy Nelson knocked him out, but I do think that Bader can catch him on the chin and finish him. So my pick's Ryan Bader by knockout, although I do think there's a chance that this fight could go the five rounds if Congo's chin holds up and Bader wins the decision. But either way, I think Ryan Bader wins this fight for sure. All right, co-main event. So there's four featherweight tournament bouts as well as an alternate bout on this card. Co-main event, Daniel Strauss against Derek Campos. The odds right now, Strauss minus 310, Campos plus 244. Daniel Strauss, former champion of Bellator, 26-8 record. He's coming off a win over Singh Crutchen. Before that, had lost two straight fights to Emmanuel Sanchez and Pitbull. He'd been out for a while, over a year actually, but the last win over Crutchen was a good, solid bounce-back performance by him. I think Strauss, for a while, was one of the most underrated featherweights in the world. He obviously has struggled with some personal issues, some stuff outside the cage, but even inside the cage, it's affected him. So he hasn't looked great, but the win over Crutchen in his last fight kind of shows that he does have some potential to keep winning fights. And I like this matchup against Campos for Strauss. Campos is another guy who's been pretty solid Bellator over the years, but he's coming off three straight losses now to Pitbull, Sam Sicilian, and Pedro Carvalho. Two of those by knockout. He's a good fighter. He's picked up some really good wins over the years in Bellator, but I do think Daniel Strauss is the better fighter here, better wrestler, and I think that he'll use his wrestling to grind this fight out. It's a tournament fight, guys, and this goes for all the tournament fights. These guys need to get their wins to move on to the next round, so I expect Strauss to play it safe here, use his wrestling, and win a decision. Next up, we have an intriguing featherweight bout between Adam Borix and Pat Curran. Borix right now, minus 140, Curran plus 110. I was hoping to get Borix as an underdog, but I guess the odds makers kind of know that people are going to probably bet on this guy. He's definitely a good prospect. Only 26 years old, 13-0 in his career, Hungarian fighter. I guess he's the best Hungarian fighter in the world right now. I can't think of anyone else who's from Hungary at this high of a level of sport. He's 4-0 in the UFC, and his last fight, of course, was the brutal knockout win over Aaron Pico, which really opened eyes, and especially for myself. This guy really wasn't on my radar before then, but that was a great knockout, and I think he's definitely a good prospect. Takes on Pat Curran here. Patty Mike, 23-8 record, 32 years old. So he's actually pretty young still, but he's been fighting in Bellator for a long time, since 2010, one of Bellator's all-time greatest fighters, but struggled a little bit in the last couple of years. He lost to AJ McKee in his last fight. I guess no surprise there. Before that, I actually won three straight fights, including a win over Manuel Sanchez. But he took a year and a half off after the John Cher win and lost to McKee in his last fight. I kind of feel like he's going to lose this one too. I like Borix in this fight. I'm hoping that maybe the odds will get a little closer. We can get him as an underdog. But either way, I do think Borix wins this fight. Younger guy, faster guy, more explosive. I like Borix to win this fight. It's either going to be a knockout or a decision, maybe a decision, because Packard's pretty tough. Next up, we have another featherweight bout between Emmanuel Sanchez and Tywan Claxton. This is also a really good fight. Sanchez minus 195, Claxton plus 160. Emmanuel Sanchez, for a while, has been one of the most underrated featherweights in Bellator, 18-4 record overall. And his record at Bellator is, oh, wow, let me check this, look at this. One sec. It's 5-9, 10. It's 10-3. He has a 10-3 record in Bellator. So a very, very solid record in Bellator. He has won 5 of his last 6 fights, actually. The one loss to Pitbull, but before that, he had beaten a bunch of guys, including Sam Cecilia, Daniel Strauss, Marcus Galvao, George Karakhanian. So he has some good wins. Actually, he has 2 wins over Karakhanian. His last fight was a win over Karakhanian, but takes on Claxton here. And you know what? I personally think, like Claxton, that he could be an underdog pick here. And I think he could be a trendy dog pick for some people because he's 5-0. He's only 26 years old. All his wins in Bellator, 4 of them are by stoppage, but he's looked incredible. The question is, how will he look against a higher level competition? He's taking on a much better fighter than the guys he's been fighting in Emmanuel Sanchez, who's a very experienced guy with a lot of good wins. So, you know what? I think Sanchez probably does win this fight. He probably does win a decision here. That's how he wins a lot of his fights. But I wouldn't count Claxton out. And honestly, at plus 160, there could be some small value in him here. So, to me, this is dog or pass. My pick is Emmanuel Sanchez by decision. But I would not be surprised if Claxton actually pulled this off, because these guys are really good prospects. If he does win this fight, you have to think about him as potentially someone who could win this tournament, because this is a big step up for him. But if he gets the job done, I would definitely consider him one of the guys to look out for as like a dark horse pick to win the tournament. Next up, we have Pedro Carvalho against Sam Cecilia, another featherweight tournament bout. Carvalho minus 350, Cecilia plus 260. Carvalho, Portuguese fighter. I can't think of too many Portuguese fighters at this high level of sport either. So he's definitely an intriguing prospect. 10-3 record, 24 years old. He is 3-0 in Bellator. He's actually on a 5-fight win streak. But yeah, he's looked good in Bellator. Last win over Derek Campos was the biggest win of his career, of course, getting the knockout in that fight. He's looked really good in Bellator. So young guy, good prospect. Takes on Cecilia here, veteran of the UFC, veteran of Bellator, 16-9 record, 33 years old. No, Sam Cecilia's a little bit older at this time. Since moving to Bellator, he's just 1-2. He's only fought 3 times in Bellator. He lost to Manuel Sanchez, but he did beat Derek Campos and Marcus Galvao. Sam Cecilia is definitely a quality veteran, but he doesn't have a great record in his last couple fights. And I personally think that Carvalho might get the job done here. I just don't like the odds. 350 seems kind of steep for a guy that's that improving. So my pick would be Pedro Carvalho to win a decision, maybe stoppage, but at these odds, I think he's someone that I wouldn't play personally. And finally, we have a featherweight alternate bout between Gaston Bolanos and Daniel Carey. So the odds for this are interesting. They actually opened up really weird with Daniel Carey as a minus 385 favorite and Bolanos as a plus 265 underdog. But I'm assuming that was a misprint, and just looking at the odds, it seems like they flipped almost immediately. So that must have been a misprint by the books, but definitely worth noting that the odds actually flipped, opened the other way, and they flipped since then. And for good reason, Bolanos should be a massive favorite in this fight. This is his fight to lose for sure. Bolanos has looked great in Bellator, Peruvian fighter. He's 5-1 in Bellator, 5-1 in his career, actually. He's won 4 straight fights, all wins in Bellator by stoppage. This guy's good, no doubt about it. And I think that if someone does get hurt, he's going to be the first guy in the tournament. So keep your eye on Bolanos. Daniel Carey's being brought in here to lose. Let's be honest. Daniel Scary Carey, he's coming off a loss by knockout in his last fight to Adil Benjelani. I don't even know who that is. So he's actually 2-1 in Bellator. Actually 2-2. Sorry, he has a loss earlier in his career. But yeah, this is not a good fight for this guy. I definitely think Bolanos wins. And again, you know, the odds, I think, were a mistake by the books. I just feel like it was a misprint. So don't read into that too much, but definitely worth noting. that's all the odds there are for this card, but there are a number of other fights that are intriguing on this card, including Jake Smith versus Adam Piccolotti in the lightweight division. Adam Piccolotti's been around for a while. He's a pretty good fighter. Just looking down, there's a women's featherweight bout between Amber Liebrock and Jessica Borga. Preliminary welterweight bout between James Terry and Batsmook Girl Barrel Dag Vajorge. I can't pronounce that name. Sorry, guys. And then also another featherweight bout between Ashley Grimshaw and John Teixeira. So there's some good fights in this card. They might open odds for some of the prelims. I don't know. But at least we have six main card fights to bet on. So this card takes place Saturday night. It's on DAZN. I think a lot of people will be MMA'd out after watching UFC 242 all afternoon and all morning. But, you know, it's good to have two different options for that day. I'll try to tune in. If not, I'll tape it and watch it after. But it's a pretty solid card. I like this featherweight tournament quite a bit. I think there's some really good fights on it. And that heavyweight bout, man, that's going to be an interesting fight in the main event. So I'm looking forward to this card, guys, for sure. Obviously, UFC 242 will be the main thing for tomorrow for everyone. But this is a pretty solid card put together by Bellator. And speaking of UFC 242, that's a good segue into this. The weigh-ins took place this morning, and all fighters made weight except for Sarah Morris. She came in at 138 for a 135-pound fight. So she could have came in at 136, but came in at 138. She's been fined 20% of her purse, but the fight goes on. So that's it. Everyone else made weight. There was some concern that Khabib might have some weight-cutting issues, but no problem. He did use the hoop to weigh in, but it was not an issue, and everyone else made weight. So that should be a really good card. I can't wait for tomorrow, actually. This card's fantastic. There are some really good prelim fights. A lot of Muslim fighters on this card. I'm going to be interested in seeing how the fans react to those guys. So should be an awesome card. Cannot wait for it. I think it starts in the morning tomorrow for us North Americans. Great card. I can't wait. One more sleep, guys, and then we get to watch UFC 242, Khabib versus Poirier. And myself and Cole Shelton, we did the breakdown podcast on Tuesday, so go back and watch that. It was a fun time with Cole, breaking down all of the fights on UFC 242. Before UFC 242, Dana White did a scrum. He talked about a few different things. One thing he did talk about was Tony Ferguson. He says Tony's getting the next lightweight title shot. We've heard this before. Dana White is hard to be trusted at times when he says things that he says will happen. So usually he's like, oh, I'll have to wait and see. But this time he said, you know, Tony's going to get the shot as long as he's healthy. So he deserves it. 12 straight wins. He probably should be in the fight right now, but Poirier's getting it. It's all good. Ferguson should get the next one for sure. Win or lose. Even if Khabib loses, I don't care. I want to see Ferguson fight for that belt. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, he should get the shot, and Dana says he will. Also, Dana talked about Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington, and apparently there were some hiccups with that matchup. Ariel Helwani has been tweeting about it as well, saying that there's problems getting the fight signed, and it's possible now we might see Kamaru Usman against Corey Masvidal instead, which would be good. I mean, that's a good fight, don't get me wrong, but Colby Covington deserves his title shot. So if that didn't happen, you'd have to wonder why. And yeah, Colby deserves that fight, man. And you know, it's crazy. Dana White promised him that title shot after he's like, you know, you saved the card, you fought Robbie Lawler, you saved that event in the main event, and now he might not even get that shot. That's crazy to me, but he deserves it, and hopefully he does get that shot. Vince Murdoch, he signed the UFC to fight that Minneapolis card a few months ago, and he pulled out of the fight due to some concern and stuff. Anyway, he's been tested. He tested positive. He's been suspended 20 months. Vince Murdoch, 12-3 record, 28 years old. He's on a 5-fight unbeaten streak, but testing positive before a UFC debut. I mean, I would assume the UFC is going to cut this guy. I'm just going to see what their statement says. Just says he's accepted a 20-month. Just says he's accepted at 20. It doesn't say he's been cut, so that's kind of interesting. I figured they would cut this guy, but I guess he wants to fight in the UFC. I guess they want to keep him around. Kind of strange, but you know, if I'm the UFC and I got a guy who tested positive, I'd probably release him right away. He says that he used before USADA and something in the system, so at least he was honest, I guess. But yeah, I would assume that I thought the UFC would release him right away. Couple fight announcements to talk about here, guys. UFC Boston gets an interesting fight. I don't even know what to make of this fight. Joe Lozon taking on Jonathan Pierce. I don't know. Like, this is kind of a weird fight, right? Like, I thought that, especially in Boston, you'd give Joe Lozon some sort of layup, like an easy fight, I guess. JSP is a tough fight. Jonathan Pierce, 9-3 record. He beat Jacob Rosales on the Dana White Contender Series. Now he gets signed to the Big Show. He's on a 5-fight win streak overall. Guy's good. His last 5 wins by stoppage. He's a really good prospect. Takes on Joe Lozon here. Joe Lozon, 35 years old now. He's on a 3-fight losing streak. Last 2 losses by knockout to Clay Guida and Chris Grootsmacher. Hasn't fought in over a year. Now he's taking on a top prospect in Jonathan Pierce. Weird. Just weird matchmaking, man. I don't like this fight for Joe Lozon. I don't know why the UFC is doing him dirty like this. Why not give him someone like some terrible fighter in the bottom of the division? Why give him a prospect like this? Bad matchup for Joe Lozon. He might get knocked out again. If he does, I think Dana White's going to have that conversation with him to retire. So I don't like the matchmaking here. I just think it's not the way you treat someone like Joe Lozon. He's been so good to the company over the years. Light heavyweight bout at UFC Moscow between Dalcha Lungamabela and Magomed Ankalaev. I'll just call him champion. He is 10-1 in his career, fighting out of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, 34 years old. This guy looked really good in his debut against Daquan Townsend. He was like wrestling the first 2 rounds, and then third round, explosive knockout, great knockout. This guy's got a lot of power, clearly. He's on a 6-fight win streak. Very impressive in his last fight. So I definitely am looking forward to seeing what this guy does in this next fight. And then he takes on Ankalaev, 11-1 record. Ankalaev, he had that horrible debut against Paul Craig where he was winning the whole fight and then tapped out with literally 1 second left in the fight. It was just sad to watch. And then he beats Marcin Pracino by knockout, which was a great win, and then wins a decision over Klitson and Abreu. This guy's an interesting prospect still. The fight's in Russia, so I guess you'd have to favor him, but don't count out Dalcha in this fight. I think he has that knockout power he could win, but I don't like the fact he's 34 years old. He's a bit older than I'd like a prospect to be. And finally, UFC Copenhagen gets a lightweight bout between Danny Henry and Mike Davis. Danny Henry, British fighter. He is 12-3 in his career, 2-1 in the UFC. He beat Daniel Tamer in his debut, one fight of the night, and then he had that great submission over Hakeem Duwadu in just 39 seconds with the technical submission, choking him out cold. Then loses to Dan Ige by submission his last fight. So that's a crappy way to lose his win streak. He actually had a 5-fight win streak, but Dan Ige is a really good fighter, so no shame in that, really, losing to a guy like Ige, who's such a quality fighter. And now he takes on Mike Davis, another Contender Series veteran. Let me pull his record here. There's a lot of Mike Davises, actually. Mike Davis, 7-2 record. He lost to Gilbert Burns in his UFC debut, but again, that's a tough fight. I think it was on short notice, if I'm not mistaken. He'll be fighting Henry. Actually, I'm sorry, this is a featherweight bout. So he fought Burns up a weight class, and Burns is actually fighting at welterweight now. So that was a tough fight for him. Before that, won 2 straight fights. His only other losses to Sadiq Yusuf. So he's lost to Yusuf and 2 Burns. Those are not bad losses in your career. This should be an interesting fight. Wouldn't be surprised if Mike Davis won. I think it can go either way. Not the kind of fight that I'd want to put money on. I'll think about it a little bit more for sure as far as the pick goes by the time that card comes up. So I think that's all I want to talk about today. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Apologies for the voice, guys. Really not feeling the greatest today, but I want to get the Bellator 226 preview out of the way. You guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available at MAOddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe. Check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARings.net. Guys, thanks again for joining me. Today's Friday. I hope you guys have an amazing weekend. Tomorrow's UFC 242 and Bellator 226. I cannot wait for these cards. Hopefully I'm feeling better. Hopefully you guys are feeling great. It's going to be some great action for us MMA fans. I'll be back Monday breaking down all the fights. Guys, have a great day. I'll talk to you soon. Have a good weekend. See ya.